Today's scripture reading is from Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of the glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
So, a couple of years ago, when Elon Musk took over Twitter, a big sort of power move, he wanted the whole world to know that this was a significant deal. To him, this was a lot more than just a new business project. It was for free speech, and he sees himself as the guardian of that in some way. I have nothing to say about that, but that's kind of his idea for this. And so the day after that whole deal was finalized, it was back and forth. Is he going to do it or not, and how much? And in the end, it happened. And the day after the deal was finalized, he walked into the Twitter headquarters that someone set up with the camera, and he walked in with a big sink, a toilet sink or something like that, a bathroom sink, walked in, smiled to the camera and said, "Now let that sink in." Now, nothing to say about this, except that this is maybe a good title for today's message. Because there's something that needs to sink in for us as well. There's something that needs to sink in to the heart of every Christian. And if that does not happen, then we will continue to feel powerless. And we'll continue to struggle. If it doesn't happen, we'll continue to feel shame over all the things that we've done. If it doesn't happen, if that doesn't sink in, we continue to feel guilt over the habits that we just cannot shake. If this doesn't happen, we will always continue to feel unworthy and unloved and unwanted in the family of God. What needs to sink in to the heart of every Christian is that what the Bible says about you is actually true. What the Bible says about you is actually true. How God sees you needs to become how you see yourself. What is theologically true already about you, whether you believe it or not, needs to become your experienced reality. What we know in our heads needs to make that 10-inch drop to become what we believe in our hearts. And when this sinks in, there's a whole new world that is opening up. If that never really does sink in, we'll get stuck. The New Testament, especially Paul's letters, have a lot to say about our identity in Christ. A few phrases from Paul. We died and we're raised with Christ, Romans 6. We are a new creation, the old is gone and the new has come, 2 Corinthians 5. We are sons and daughters, heirs of the kingdom. That's just generally from Romans 8 and Ephesians 1. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ, Romans 8. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, also Romans 8. We are called saints, we are not called sinners. These are all true for anyone who is in Christ. It already applies to everyone who has acknowledged Jesus Christ as the Son of God, who died and rose for our sins, and is our Lord and is our Savior. That's already true about you if you believe these things. It's true about you, and the extent to which you believe it has nothing to do with its trueness. It's already true about you. But unless it sinks in and it takes root and it gets established sort of in your heart, it takes root, it becomes something that you experience in your innermost being, your life will hardly change unless that happens. There are many things that can kind of keep us from believing this. I mean, the damage that has been done in the past can really take a knock on our sort of our view of ourselves. Hurtful words or just judgmental looks, through many forms of abuse. It could be through our own faults and our failures, the things that we tell ourselves, how we relate to other people. It can also just be a matter of unbelief. But in this prayer, it's not really a passage, what we just read. It's a prayer. It's a prayer from Paul. He is interceding for anyone who reads this letter. He's interceding for you and for me that what we already know is a fact will become the truth that we believe. The truth of how God sees you needs to become how you see yourself. This is where healing and restoration begin. This is really where discipleship or the process of sanctification begins. And when we begin to believe what is already true about us, then we can move forward into everything that Christ has called us to. Really, Paul's prayer needs to become our prayer. A prayer that what we know in our heads would get rooted in our hearts as well. And I think the prayer that he's praying may help us. So I kind of rephrase it into an I prayer. Maybe this is just something we can kind of pray together, sort of half out loud, if you will. Or kind of repeat after me. Jesus Christ, I invite you to dwell in my heart through faith. I pray that I, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep your love is. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that I may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. This is not an invitation to study. This is not an invitation from Paul to read a whole bunch of books on how deep and high and wide the love of Christ is. This is not an invitation to do more and more and more Bible study, although that's very helpful and very good and will increase your understanding. But Paul's invitation here is an invitation to experience, to it's knowledge that surpasses all knowledge. It's knowledge that surpasses all understanding. Therefore, it's something that we need to experience, not just know, but something that we need to begin to experience in order to really grasp it. It needs to be established in our hearts. You need to begin to believe that the love of Christ that is just beyond understanding, it's so high and deep and wide and low and everything is like four-dimensional, that it's not just for everyone or for the world, but it is for you. In spite of everything, in spite perhaps of your unbelief, that it's for you. Paul's invitation to know the love of Christ is an invitation into relationship with God at an experiential level. And so I just recommend, it's just a very simple exercise to help you to grow in this, is when you have your morning prayer time, I hope you have a morning prayer time. If not, then that's where you should start. But to start your morning prayer, to start your day with God, and when you start your day with God, to begin, here's what I learned, super simple. Just to sit in the quiet for a couple minutes and experience being seen and being known and being loved by God without you doing a whole bunch of things, without you going through your prayer list, without you reading a couple chapters, without you worshiping or something. But just to see him seeing you. Just to feel how he knows you, how he loves you, how he looks at you with love in his eyes as a father. It's beautiful just to start with that, so that that love of Christ may begin to dwell in your hearts. See, prayer in this way really is sort of a daily reminder, a note to self. You are a beloved child of God. And I believe that Paul is inviting us here as well to perhaps just daily pray this prayer. Lord, dwell in my heart. Help me to understand your amazing love for me. Fill my heart with the knowledge of you. This is not just a prayer from the head to the heart that will help that this knowledge goes from the head to the heart. It also signifies a move to go from identity to destiny. Through this prayer, Paul is transitioning from all these sort of fact statements about our identity in Christ. And actually, in the first two chapters, he focuses on that mostly. He helps us to understand who we are in Christ. That's what the last two messages, in case you missed them, were about as well. You can find them on our podcast. Spotify's not online yet. We're still working through that. But the Apple podcast for sure is there and on the website. Anyway, the first two messages were mostly about who are we in Christ. But in this chapter, Paul's transitioning from sort of theology to ethics. From this is what happened to you through grace to this is how you should respond to grace. From the indicative to the imperative. And he does that with a line that comes in 4 verse 1, which we'll hear about next week. Therefore, with all of this in mind, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of your call. That really sets the tone for the rest of the letter. So really, chapter 3, and specifically this prayer, is where he transitions from identity to destiny. From this is who you are to now respond in this way. Now, from that identity, live in a certain way. And that's why it's so important that it doesn't just that it's not just something that we believe in our heads, but that it's something that we know in our hearts. Between those two sections is this prayer. This is where the penny needs to drop, a prayer that this knowledge might sink in deep into the heart. That it might Christ might dwell in our hearts. That we may become rooted and grounded in love. That we'll be able to comprehend the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of the love of Christ. That we're filled with the fullness of God. What he's after in this prayer is that everything that is already true about us, our newly received identity, this is how God sees us, may also become our experienced reality, how we see ourselves, so that, in accordance with that identity, it will also become how others see us. So it goes from this is how God sees you to this is how you should see yourself, so that others may recognize Christ in you. We receive a completely new identity. It's not an identity that we discover. It's not an identity that we invent or perform. It's an identity we receive. And this is such an important message in today's world because we live in a world where people are discovering their identities and sometimes are performing a sort of new identity. See if this works. See if others will recognize me. Let's see if this sort of identity works. And if it doesn't work, then I'll shift to a different one. I'll discover a new one. I'll perform a different one. But you and I, we have a received identity from God. It's crucial that we get this right. Because and it's also important that we get the order right, that we live from our received identity into our destiny. What happens if we do it the other way around? Then we'll try to earn God's love by living in the right way. Right? Then we look at the last few chapters of this letter and like, oh, this is how we should live in order to be in Christ, in order to be a son of God, in order to be an heir of the kingdom. No. The order is you are already, through grace, a son of a child of God. You're son in the Father's business. You are already in Christ. You're forgiven. You're set free. You're set apart. You're called. You're destined, etc., etc. Already true. Now go live in that way, not the other way around, because that just leads to just this ongoing feeling of being unloved and unwanted every time that you fail. We're already loved, already chosen. I know who I am. I know what you've spoken. We're already children, already saints, already called the beloved. And from that newly received identity, our lives begin to change. And Paul's prayer makes clear it is a continuing journey where we continually grow into that new identity so that we can continue to grow into our destiny as well. And the result of this process, the result of sort of that sinking in deep into our hearts, is simply growth. Love grows, prayer grows, and our power grows. Let's walk through them. First, love grows. As we begin to grasp how deep and high and wide and the love of Christ is, then the result of that is that we ourselves will become rooted and established in love. The two kind of go hand in hand. You see, our love is, and this is a love for God and a love for each other simply, love for this world, just becoming a person of love. Our love is like a battery. It will go for a while, but inevitably it will run out at some point and will kind of need to be recharged. Our love is not unending, it's not unconditional, and it's not unrelenting. Our love is quite finite. We run out of love. Our love is conditional. There are limits to what we can endure. And it grows or weakens conditional to how it is received. And when it's run out and when it's not received, it will give up. But when we are plugged in to the love of God, it's like we're plugged into a power socket. We don't run on our own batteries anymore, but we're connected to an unending, ongoing source of love. And through continually receiving the love of God, our own love for God and for others will grow. We need to make sure that we are connected to the source. And I always get back to the same passage when it comes to this principle, and that's John 15, because it connects so well with us being the vineyard. Jesus says, like, abide in me, like he compares himself to the vine and we're the branches, and he says, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, this idea of we are in Christ and Christ is in us, unless whoever abides in me and I in him, he is it that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do a few things. Nothing. No, nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's why I recommend just sitting in God's presence and abiding in the vine, receiving his love for you. It's not a selfish act to receive the love of God for you. It's not selfish. I've thought this for a while. I got upset with all the worship songs that are all about us. And there's some truth to that. But then, it's not a selfish act to just receive God's love for you. Jesus says right here, it's needed, it's essential for you to even be able to bear fruit for the sake of others. So it's not all about you. You know, following Jesus is not about project self-improvement. But receiving God's love for you is essential if you want to be, if you want to bear fruit, if you want to make a difference in the life of others, in the lives of others. If you want to be fruitful in the kingdom, you have to prioritize intimacy with God. Now, what else will happen is that prayer will grow. Now, this is the last two verses of this prayer. I haven't focused on it all yet, but they're actually the most incredible verses in this whole in this whole prayer. And it says, Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Yes, I know this by heart. I said this 100 times. This was our benediction in our previous church that I had to do very often. So I know it in English and in Dutch. Just imagine this coming year. Just imagine the coming year. And come August 2025. And all your prayers have been answered. Yeah? Imagine next year, September 1st, 2025. All your prayers this year have been answered. Whew. All right. That's cool. Okay. Now double that. Now triple that. Still don't get close to what God is able to do. It's more than we can ask or imagine. Increasingly, incredibly more than perhaps what we even dare to pray for. Like, Lord, like, I have this thing in my heart, but I don't even dare to pray this. He's able to do it. When we begin to understand deep in our hearts who we are in Christ and what position of authority and power we've received, the access that we have through prayer, when we begin to understand some of this, we'll begin to pray bolder prayers. Boldly we approach the throne room of grace. You've already received the position. You've received authority through prayers. What you pray matters. What you pray matters. It makes a difference. And so I believe that we need to pray a bigger prayer, since God is able to do incredibly more than we can ask or imagine. Let's pray bigger prayers. Let's pray riskier prayers. Ooh. Sometimes you pray a prayer and you're like, Lord, like, if you actually do this, then I'm putting a lot on the line here. We're like, I know this is a risky prayer, but let's go for it. Yeah, we need to pray riskier prayers. Like, Lord, use me. So like that. We need to pray like we believe that the Almighty God is listening to us and actually has given us power and authority through prayer to make a change. Let me ask you, how is God able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine? How is that? Mm-hmm. No. Yeah, also. But that's not what this passage says. I know it's always the right answer in kids ministry, but when you get to adult ministry, let me read it again. Now, to him he is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us. It's the power that is at work within us. So we pray bigger prayers because God is able to do immeasurably more, but then it's almost like a ball that bounces. Like he bounces it back to us like, I have given you power to actually partner with me to see my kingdom come and my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the position that we need, that needs to sink into our hearts as well. Do you realize that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is now alive in you? Do you realize that the same Holy Spirit through which Jesus did his healings and demon outcasting and stuff, that he is in you? Jesus didn't do his miracles because he was God. He was God, 100% God, 100% human. But everything that he did through the power of the Holy Spirit. This same Holy Spirit that's in you. Very same one. Not a different, same Holy Spirit. And do you realize that the message and the ministry of Jesus has been delegated to the church and that we now operate in the same power and authority as Jesus and his apostles did? And do you realize that the Holy Spirit is waiting for you and me to really believe this and to step out in faith and confidence to partner with him to see his kingdom come? Don't wait for a call. You've already been called. Don't wait for power. You've already been empowered. Don't wait for permission. You've already been sent. There's no such thing as an unsent Christian. And don't wait until you feel like it, because it will never get comfortable. There are times that we need to wait on God, 100%. But when it comes to testifying what Christ has done in your life, how his love is not just for you, but also for others that maybe don't know him yet, when it comes to operating in the gift of the Spirit, when it comes to praying for healing, you don't have to wait. You've already been sent. You've already been empowered. You've already been called. The Spirit is inviting you to partner with him. And he's waiting for you to respond. And so in this coming year, to practice this vineyard phrase, there are many vineyard phrases. We love one-liners. We loved one-liners before preachers loved one-liners. And before Twitter even existed. And one of them is that the meeting place is the training place for the marketplace. So when we get together, it's an opportunity to train, to step out in spiritual gifts, so that when we see an opportunity out in the wild, we may have more confidence to then step out in the gifts of the Spirit. Because they work outside of the church as well. Guess what? It's so fun. And so we want to give a little bit more space in our services as well for people to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. So I want to ask you, if you have, like today, next week, week after, whatever, if you have a word, if you have an impression, if you have a Bible verse, if you have something that you believe is for someone specifically, if you don't know who, if it's maybe for the whole church, if it's just a general encouragement for anyone here, we'd love to share some more of these things. And you can find me during the service or find the service host and just share that. And then we'll find an appropriate moment in the service to actually share this with others. And so we want to create more space. It's opening the door to say, Holy Spirit, come and will you move among us? And we believe that you want to do that through all of us here. So we want to step out in that a little bit more. Right. This is where I've run out of notes. And this is also where we've run out of time. So I want to ask all of us to stand up. And I want to lead you in a prayer. And I want to invite you also to go to the prayer team. If there's anything we can pray for, if maybe just the phrase of let that sink in, that you as a child of God, you as a called one, as a sent one, if that needs to sink in deeper into your heart, we'd love to just pray over that today. We'd just love to bless that over you today. So I want to ask the prayer team to already move to the side. But let me lead you in a prayer for all of us here right now. Lord, I thank you how you've gathered us together here today, and how we are the called ones, how we are the ones that are set apart, redeemed for your glory, how we are brought into your family, how you accept us and how you deeply love us. And I just pray that this truth will not just be something that keeps on floating in the air, that's not just words on paper, but that it's something that's written on our hearts, something that will take root in our hearts, that we know that we know that we know simply that the Lord of heaven and earth, the maker of all things, loves us dearly and has set us apart to be testimony in this world and to partner with the Holy Spirit to see the kingdom come. Let's sink in deeply. Even right now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll minister to some of us here. Open the eyes of our hearts that we will see this, that we will grasp this. That we'll comprehend something of how high and deep and wide and long is the love of Christ. Thank you, Lord.